La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, glou, glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.
Rugby friends, and welcome back to a new edition of the French Rugby Connection with moi, Véronique Lindieu, your host from Surrey and from Toulouse.
From Toulouse, it is moi, Tom Dixon. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Tom. So I believe you were on a holiday last week in some part of the UK, is that correct?
That's right. I went to Stenning Church to see my niece Hannah and the lovely Callum become man and wife in a church nowadays. Who'd have thought it? That's what we used to do in the past. It was a lovely wedding, so well done them, and rugby was hardly mentioned.
That's the reason why we couldn't have our episode last week, but it's been so exciting. So let's talk very briefly about les barrages.
Les barrages. Well, I can tell you that Stade Français Racing 92 was a match marred by the most terrible red card after 5 minutes. So I say terrible red card. Nobody contested it. I think even the player himself, Marcus Kramer, was reaching for his pocket to give himself a red card. It was a terrible clear out on Finn Russell and thoroughly deserved. And it made the rest of the game a bit tedious, as you might expect. But actually, Stade Français stayed fairly good, didn't they? Racing had moments of brilliance with their tries. And Racing, 15 men beat 14. So an away win in a semi-final, in a barrage.
Yes.
In a barrage. That is quite something.
And the overall score was 20-33 to Racing 92. So well done to Racing 92.
Yes, good play. And so they go through to play Stade Toulousain. Stade Anoueta in San Sebastian, a lovely stadium. I have been there. There's a big long walk up a hill to get to the bus at the end. And that's Friday at 9 p.m. French time. So look out for that if you can. That should be a great game. I think it's fair to say that Toulouse are favourites. And in the other semi-final, there's a clear favourite as well. But nothing is done until it's done, is it? And when the final whistle goes, that's all that counts.
Exactly. No, it came a bit as a surprise, you know, for Racing 92, you know, to win. I think people were expecting Stade Français because they were ranked a bit higher on the table. But as we know, anything can happen on the day within those 80 minutes of game. But who's going to play for Toulouse? Who do you think? Usual suspect?
Tony Ebridge?
Yes, of course. So I'm guessing, tell me whether you agree or not and why they should play. And so we got Ramos, 15.
We're starting at the back. Yes, we assume we got Ramos starting at 15. Sometimes he chops and changes the back three kick around. He is world class. He's on top form. He kicks wonderfully. So thoroughly expect him to be amongst the top players of the match.
Yes, of course, like you just mentioned it earlier, Monsieur Dupont, Antoine Dupont, who just had his model done in the Musée Grévin, which is the equivalent of le Musée de Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, I think in English we call it Madame Tussauds, because we can't pronounce French. That place in Marlborough that does the waxworks.
Exactly.
Tony O'Bridge is now a waxwork.
Very much so. That's why you can see the picture on my tweet, you know, of a meeting with his in wax. Yes. So yes, of course, Antoine will be there. I'm guessing 13 Chocoba, 12 Aki, 11 Lebel.
Lebel gets the ball. La vie est belle.
N'est-ce pas?
Good wingers, good solid. Juan Cruz Malia, you might expect to see around that back line, but he's a bit borderline. He had a head, he was taken off for a head assessment against Brive, which was only 8 days ago, because this match is on a Friday night. So the results of the previous match are Sunday at 9 p.m., if you remember.
Yes.
It's less than 2 weeks later, but we'll see. They might put him out on the bench if he's able to play. I hope he is.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, if we talk about Dupont, we always talk about Tamac.
Indeed. Romain is there. He's come up in form recently, hasn't he? He had a bit of a quiet for him mid-season, but he's being back to magic turned up to 11. So you should say, so go on, Romain.
Yes, so forward. So we're talking about 8, probably could be Ruma or Tolofua.
Yeah, I'd be happy with either. Ruma had a good start of his career at Stade Toulousain. He hasn't always been top, but generally it's a reflection on how the rest of the pack is doing. So either of them would be fine for me.
And a hero, one of your heroes, you kind of asked that question to Gauthier when you went to the press conference in Montgesti about Mea Fu. So Mea Fu, still no news from the Rugby Federation, World Rugby Federation, whether he's going to get his French passport or not. That will enable
French passport, whether he's allowed to play for France. Is the issue.
Exactly.
Do you know who the highest try scorer is in this season?
It's not Stade Toulousain. The highest score is Joris Segond from Pau, followed very, very closely by Finn Russell from Racing 92.
I was referring to the team, the Stade Toulousain, the team's highest score this year.
Okay.
So is it going to be a winger? Is it one of those speedy guys? Is it going to be a back?
Okay.
Is it going to be Ramos? Or is it going to be a 140-kilogram Australian called Emmanuel Miafu?
Yes.
he has scored 11 tries this season, largely off the back of those little 5-meter penalties they get nowadays, where if you're 140 kilos and a big Australian, you're halfway there already. So his power and bulk has got him over the line a fair few times. So he wins the try scorer of the season thus far.
Oh, amazing, amazing. 6, 7, 8, Willis, hopefully. 7, Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, Bye, of course. N'y a que Bye, Kimai. That's for our French listener. They will remember. It refers to an advert on Mustard in the 90s. Then Marchand, Algeri, and Arnold, number 4.
So Thibaut Flamand has been off sick. I can't remember what with, but he might also be on the bench. He's a hell of an impact player to have on the bench if he is there. He's obviously an international Loughborough 5th team a few years back. But no, I mean, that's an outstanding pack. I'd be terrified if I was Racing 92.
Definitely. So Racing 92, the likely team is going to be 15 Spring, Talofina, Jafonsi, 12, of course, Fikou, you know, being the captain.
Former Toulousain.
Yes, that's right. Then Imhoff, Russell, Le Garec.
Imhoff was fantastic at the weekend in the barrage, wasn't he?
Absolutely. You know, a thing of beauty. So players less well known as the one from Toulouse, because I don't think any except Fikou, there are no players that plays for Les Bleus. But I know that Nolan Le Garec was about to get his first cap when France played against Italy, but because the game started so badly, you know, for the Six Nations, that he couldn't go on the pitch.
Yeah. Oh dear, indeed, gosh, takes you back. So, not all is perfect. So that's still a good team, and there's some excellence. Anything's possible when Finn Russell is on the field. And as I said, Imhoff can change a game by himself. They only need a few moments of brilliance. We can all do the ugly game of attrition, and then it's anybody's game. It's 15 men against 15, we hope.
We hope. We really hope.
Yeah, but we can cope nowadays if it's not. But you know.
So my question, who do you think is going to score the first try?
I think, obviously, Lebel on the wing.
Oh, I think it might be Dupont.
You think he'll barge his way through at the beginning?
Sorry, you know, his preview work is magic. But, you know, in the last 3 games, he scored 4 tries. And that's all. Yeah, that's nothing. Yeah. It's like a quiet office in the other day.
Yeah, but I remember one of those games was against Brive, which was always going to be a high-scoring game. But yeah. No, even so. Can't take it from him. The guy's a magician.
And do you know how many tries he scored this season?
No, you tell me.
Okay, 6 8. Tries within 13 games.
Oh, of course, because the time he spent playing for the club is tiny compared to others because he's always on international duty.
Correct. Absolutely. So well done. Okay, so yeah, I think you are probably right. We highly think that Toulouse is going to bag the win, but who knows?
And I am not going. But listeners, the semi-finals in France are often played on a neutral pitch in a neutral town over the course of the same weekend. And this year they're doing it in Saint-Sébastien, which the eager-eyed amongst you will say, hold on a minute, isn't that in Spain? And yes, yet again, we're playing French top 14 matches in Spain, but it's a real outing and it's really good fun. I wish I did have the time to go, but as Veronique said, I've been away and I'm going away again soon. So I shall play safe and I shall go to Brennan's bar and watch it in my usual table with having to choose between a Joshy burger or a Dan burger.
Of course. You had to mention him, of course.
Sponsorship next year.
Yes, definitely. So it's going to take place on a Friday. Then on Saturday, we'll have La Rochelle, of course. Woo, surprisingly. We'll play against Bordeaux. Yes. Yeah. Who defeated Lyon last week, 25-32.
And that was a fun game to watch, actually. So there's a score in it at the end. Madish Tambwe, the Congan South African winger, was fantastic, wasn't he? It's a real speed merchant. So again, all it takes is a few moments of excellence and the guy on the outside can zoom through and score between the posts. So, nonetheless, this is against La Rochelle. But no, I mean, hats off to Bordeaux for getting this far. They may well surprise us this weekend. It's extraordinary that a team that sacked its manager during the season, let's not forget, the wonderful Christophe Urios, was shown La Porte. And here they are in the semi-finals. So good luck for them. They've really started shining at the correct end of the season. And their performance last weekend was very good. So,
but guess what? They are leaving at the end of the season.
Oh, who are?
The current coaches. You know, it was only temporary function. And they're going to coach, guess where?
We're not Racing 92 because that's Stuart Lancaster.
No.
I can't keep up. Montpellier?
No. No, they were friends with one of our friends, Christophe.
Oh, so they're going to... Clermont.
Correct. Clermont. Correct. Both of them.
So you take the whole staff with you when you go.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So it would be very interesting to see how Clermont is going to progress next year, because this year they finished 10.
Yeah, I think they went down since Urios arrived, and Bordeaux have gone up since Urios left. So the lesson is don't have Urios as your trainer. Sorry, Christophe, if you're listening.
I'm not going to say anything. I cannot comment on this. No, I will not get into this sort of dialogue.
So La Rochelle have the strength we know. They have virtually nobody in the infirmerie. Nobody off sick. They're a full strength team. I never wish injuries on anyone, but it would be quite nice if for the final they did have a few people in the, well, Skelton in particular, in the infirmerie. But I don't wish bad of anyone, so let's see what happens. But at the moment, you have to say it looks like Toulouse-La Rochelle final in the Stade de France at 9 p.m. on 17th, I think it is, Saturday week. In any case, unless they surprise us, and it'd be lovely to be surprised because we've had lots of really good surprises this year. So keep it coming.
Indeed. So likely crew. Suspect the best players, of course, Dulin, Led, Sotheny, Danti, of course, Roul, Hastoy, Kerbarlo, Botia, and Aldrit, Boudéon, Skelton, Sazi, Antonio, Bougari, and Guardi, and most of them are already playing for Les Bleus, so they are very well known. We're used to pronouncing the names when we review the Six Nations and the World Cup.
I've got 90 odd days. So, no, I think that there are some superstars in there, and on their day, they're unbeatable. As Leinster found out, I suspect they've got to be really good games. I hope red cards don't come in. Or did you notice in the Lyon Bordeaux game, they had no video arbitrage?
That is correct. I mean, this creates an uproar on Twitter.
It's lovely. It's going back to old school. Not quite old school, because what they did, the referees who would have been upstairs, they came out and they camped out in the in-goal area, so that whenever there was a try, there was the referee, hopefully in a good position, this additional referee in the goal area to see it, and, of course, the linesman like normal. So, and they had to go on their feelings. They had to call it as they saw it, and it made the game run a bit quicker, a bit more fun. No sending it upstairs for decisions. So I obviously you can't have that all the time. You can't push technology back, but it was quite a nice view of what used to be. So I was happy with that.
Interesting. Very interesting. And you know why?
I'm not sure whether it was a technical error. I don't think they were on strike, but it might have been because we, the television viewers, could see when they rewound to show something, but the referees didn't have the television, so they should have paid for their Canal Plus subscription. I think it was just a technical error.
I think for next time they probably need to work on that aspect.
Yes, I think there's so much money involved in the game. You expect the level to be maintained. It's not difficult.
Yes. For next season, you know, mistake made and lesson learned. Yeah. I'm sure. Okay, so Dobeg, again, you know, didn't expect them to win against Lyon. Lyon was currently number 3, actually, behind La Rochelle. And, yeah, as you can imagine, you know, Matt Jalibert was extremely pleased at the end of the game, and he said, "Vamos!" Very, very happy they went through. So, likely team, according to Midi on a Peak, Biel, Biarré, Cordero, Dubier, Moye, Fana, yes, Tambwe, Jalibert, yeah, of course, Lucu, of course, Beauchaton, Willis, who is going to leave the club, I believe, is going to go back to Angleterre.
To Les Saracens.
Yeah, indeed. Exactly, Saracens, yeah. Diaby, Caso, Jolmes, Falatea, Lamotte et Poirot, of course. Again, a few names that we are familiar with because they play for Les Bleus.
Indeed. And still quite young, some of them, aren't they? Although they're all young to me, I suppose. But some we may have seen and some we will see more of. As I mentioned, Jalibert, we all know. Tombwe, I think, was fantastic. So, yeah, good luck to them all.
Yes, absolutely. So I've got a few stats for you regarding, you know, top 14 that were released by the top 14, actually. Do you know how many supporters they were roughly attending top 14 game last year during the full season? That means 26 weekends.
I was going to say 26 weekends. Mm-hmm. I would say an average of about 13,000. So 26.
Oh, you're really good. I forgot. You're very good with figures because you are data migration specialist, statistician, and so on. You know, you love figures. You dream of figures. Not bad at all. Average of 14,841 supporters.
Oh, wow. That is, I was saying an average of 13,000. So that's significantly more good. We can't gloat about the good health of French rugby with everything that's happening in the rugby world, but we won't go into that.
We won't go into that. But we wish all the best to the English Premiership. I love that Premiership as well. And I'm hoping that either they will come up with a new model or find another solution.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. But the heart goes out, I agree.
Definitely. So wish the best for the Rugby Premier League. So anyway, in terms of stats again, roughly that makes 2.7 million supporters that were present in the stadium during those 26 weeks. And on average, watching on Canal Plus was about 1.3 million. I think what really galvanized, you know, the rugby image in France is because of the World Cup, which is going to take place in September. Don't forget, 8th of September until the 28th of October. And also because we've got such a great team that came from nowhere. I wouldn't say not from nowhere because they were very, very strong under 20. Yep. So they were already spotted. We spotted them, but Tamak and Bai all came, you know, as a big surprise, 2019.
Yes, indeed. I went to Béziers to see England against France, the World Cup final for the under 20s, probably about 5 years ago. And a lot of the ones, and France won, and a lot of the people we saw then, we see today in the senior team.
And I remember really well as well seeing, I think, circa 2018, you know, I was watching on TV a game between Toulouse and another team. I thought, who's that player? He looks very charismatic and, wow, he's good, he's fast. Oh, he's small. And it was Antoine Dupont. So when I went to the press conference, Six Nations press conference on the 24th of January 2018, Jacques Brunel was still the coach. And I mentioned to him, and I've got a journalist friend from AFP who can bear witness. I mentioned to him, you know, at the end of the session, said, oh, have you thought about using more of Antoine Dupont? I saw him playing and he's really, really good. And then the rest is history.
Thank God you asked that question and put him on Jacques Brunel's radar.
Of course, yeah, with my eagle eye. So another thing regarding top 14, it's au revoir and happy retirement to three massive rugby legends, Mathieu Bastaro.
Wasn't he lovely? He's funny as anything. He just found every interview amusing. Obviously, he went to play in New York, certainly the States. I think he was playing some funny game over there. So obviously, his English is very good as well.
Yes, definitely.
He will be greatly missed.
Yes, and you know, who does he represent? He represents Toulon, and let's say, you know, as a player that were able to win the European Championship with the likes of your hero Johnny Wilkinson, you know, in 2014, 2015 as well, and this year, so three times was the only player that won. And then we got the legendary Sergio Paris, who said after 39 years, I wouldn't say not 39 years spent on the pitch, but since he was for the last 20 years as a professional, he decided to hang his boot. And man, he's going to miss so much passion, so much dexterity.
Yes,
brilliant, brilliant player.
So born 83, gosh, played for Toulon, Italy national team for 17 years.
You might have heard on the news, but Sam Whitlock,
All Black,
is going to join.
Boo!
Exactly!
Little sexy on Palois, because his mate, his brother's there, isn't he?
Yes.
So family reunion at the tail end of his international career, he's coming to play in the top 14. That will be fantastic.
And he's going to play until 2025.
Well, I'm sure he's got a get-out clause if he's not feeling very well or doesn't like the food.
I doubt it very much.
Oh, no, good luck. That would be a real interesting time at the rucks and the clear-outs. They've got lots of talent kicking around there. So.
Absolutely. Shesin Kolbe, you know, has confirmed he's going to play in Japan next season.
Ah, okay. That's a shame. He never really got his form back after leaving Toulouse in such bad circumstances. So still wish him all the best, but he's an excellent player who hasn't really made his mark recently.
Exactly.
See what he's done in the World Cup. Don't write them off.
Watch this space.
Yes.
So when nearly approaching, you know, the end of the top 14 season, let's talk about the Pro D2. What are the latest?
It was very exciting, but for you, Pro D2, your season is over. I went to the final at the Stade Ernest Vallon at 9 o'clock on Saturday night, a couple of weeks ago, and Oyonnax, predictably enough, beat Grenoble quite substantially. Oyonnax showed great form. They were quite at home coming back in the top 14. I look forward to seeing them next season. They'll be trying to do a Bayonne and creep up rapidly. The loser of that final, Grenoble, got to play against the 13th in the top 14.
Right.
Now, remembering that Brive had got relegated in Pro D2 from top 14 because they finished last.
Yes.
The second last, Perpignan, plays against the loser of the final, Grenoble. Traditionally, I don't know how many it is, but traditionally, the 13th gets relegated and the second goes up because they're on form. But Perpignan had different ideas this week. Perpignan beat Grenoble, consigning them to another year in the second division. And Perpignan showed great character. And I believe if anyone's near the beach at the moment, the team are probably still down there drinking and having barbecues a week later. So pop along and have a glass of wine with them. So now the Pro D2 was a great competition this year and the right team got promoted.
Absolutely. I think it's well deserved. So not long now, 24 hours to wait until the we're recording this on a Thursday, the 8th of June. So Friday, 9th of June, we'll be gluing in front of the TV.
It will be fantastic. Well, the big screens in a local Irish establishment. Certainly, it's going to be a great atmosphere, great time. And we're back at the squeaky bum end of the season where anything could happen. You know what's likely to happen. But all it takes is one over-enthusiastic clear out and a red card comes out, or a moment of brilliance from Finn Russell, or Tony Bridge doing his thing and powering through the defence. So we'll see.
And I believe that the Les Bleus have started regrouping in Marcus. Is that correct?
That is correct, because 10 teams out of the top 14 have shut up shop for the season. Their season is over. So 10 teams out of 14 available to the selectioners. They are there already. It's a kind of expanded group to have a last look at some of the borderline choices. So we'll see what's happening. Then on the 21st of June, they're going to announce the final squad of 42.
Right.
In as much as it's ever final. If somebody's injured, they can bring in more people. And the 25th of June, they start their preparation. They're going on stage to Cap Yann. They're going for 2 weeks to Monaco. They're going on stage at Marcoussis. And then they're going to Capbreton. And then on the 21st of August, we get the list of the 33 ready for the 8th of September.
Well, no, I remember that we talked about Cap Breton a few episodes ago, saying, you know, they would be sleeping in some bungalows with their families, so it'd be nice and relaxing, just to take the pressure off them. But do you know that last year, Fabien Gatier was considering sending his players to the French Guiana?
Oh, really?
Oh, what's that force? It's not the SAS, but similar to the SAS. But I'm glad he's not taking them there.
Because the Marines or something. The elite military group.
Yes, les légionnaires. Les légionnaires.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yes, because you may have seen that on the web of Fabien Gatier has been nominated colonel in the Légionnaire, you know, honorary, of course. But yes, there is a strong connection there.
The French Foreign Legion is based in Castelnaudary between Carcassonne and Toulouse, famous for its cassoulet. And yes, that would be a good link up. I can see that.
So I believe as well, Tom, that the French team is going to play some friendly as well in France in the summer. So English listeners and French listeners, global listeners, if you are in France, Tom, can you tell us, you know, in which cities they will play and the time against which team?
I'm going to pick you up on a slight accuracy because the first match is in Edinburgh. Which is not en France.
Mon Dieu, pourquoi? Mon Dieu,
because they're doing a home and away friendly match against Scotland. The 5th of August is at Murrayfield.
Okay.
A week later, this is a match every week. This is fantastic. A week later is in Saint-Étienne in France, receiving Scotland. Okay. A week later, on 19th of August, France against Fiji in Nantes, which is about a third of the way down on the left. On the edge of your beloved Brittany?
Yeah, she's really part of Brittany. So that's a long, long story. It used to be part of Brittany, but...
It floated away.
Since the Second World War II, I think. But no, yes, it's Brittany, not. But brilliant, brilliant. So if you want to, if you feel like seeing, you know, some of the Les Bleus, you know, playing in action, You know, not all of them, I assume, because we want to keep them safe. You can watch doing a demonstration of their skills. So not long. And like you were saying, it's under 100 days now. We're talking about, 90 days until the World Cup starts on the 8th of September on a Friday in the Stade de France.
As you said, we are recording this live on Thursday evening. And as I look at the RugbyWorldCup.com tickets,
yes,
I have tickets available for New Zealand versus Namibia, Stadium de Toulouse, South Africa versus Romania, Australia versus Fiji, Argentina versus Samoa, Georgia against Portugal, and England versus Chile. So don't believe that tickets are sold out and impossible to get. If you go onto the website, they're constantly coming up as people return them bit by bit. So it is not over. Keep your eyes peeled. Tickets.rugbyworldcup.com.
Definitely. So always keep an eye on what's happening with the tickets. Hey, it's been lovely to speak with you, Tom. I hope you have recovered from your wedding. I mean, not your wedding, but your niece's wedding.
Hannah and Callum.
Cool. Yes. And let's speak next week to talk about the final. And then we'll take a well deserved holiday, you and me as well.
Although separately. Before the listeners get excited. Do remember to like us and to review us on wherever you get your podcasts. It helps people to find us and keeps this thing going.
Merci beaucoup. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic, les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic, glou-glou-glou font tous les dindons, et la jolie cloche ding-ding-dong. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum, et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.